Welcome to Unit 2C of Component 2, The Culture of Healthcare. This unit describes health professionals, the people in healthcare. Unit 2C will describe the education, training, certification, licensure, and roles of a number of health professionals. After completing this unit, learner will be able to describe the education, training, certification, licensure, and roles of the physician assistant, pharmacist, respiratory therapist, physical therapist, and occupational therapist, radiology and EKG technicians, and nutrition and dietary professionals. The learner will also be able to describe the education, training, certification, licensure, and roles of the paramedics and EMTs, dental health professionals, mental health professionals, social workers, and case managers. Most applicants to physician assistant programs have a bachelor's degree. The education program can be an associate degree, a bachelor's degree, or a master's degree. Preclinical training includes basic and clinical sciences like biochemistry, microbiology, anatomy, physiology, pharmacology, and physical diagnosis. Clinical rotations include core specialties such as internal medicine, pediatrics, obstetrics gynecology, surgery, emergency medicine with electives and other specialties and subspecialties. Certification requires passing the Physician Assistant National Certifying Exam. Requirements for maintaining certification include continuing medical education and recertifying every 6 years. In most states, licensure is by a medical board. Some states have a specific physician assistant board. Physician assistants diagnose and treat patients under the supervision of a physician. Most states allow prescribing authority for physician assistants, and most states also allow physician assistants to make hospital and nursing home rounds. Since 2007, a pharmacist must have a Doctor of Pharmacy degree, a PharmD. The training can be thought of as a 2+2+2 type of program. This includes 2 years of general studies, often before admittance to the PharmD program, 2 years of pharmacy sciences, and 2 years of clinical pharmacy. Options exist for residency and fellowship programs after completing the PharmD degree. There is a voluntary certification in 6 specialty practice areas recognized by the Board of Pharmacy Specialties. The specialties include ambulatory care pharmacy, nuclear pharmacy, nutrition support pharmacy, oncology pharmacy, pharmacotherapy, and psychiatric pharmacy. Licensure varies by state, but all states require the North American Pharmacy Licensure Exam, NAPLEX. Some require the Multi-State Pharmacy Jurisprudence Exam, MPJE, but some states have an alternative exam. Pharmacists have 2 general types of roles. The first is dispensing medication, which can be either in the community or hospital-based setting. Pharmacists can also have a consulting role, which is usually hospital-based. This often includes providing information on the best medications for a particular problem, monitoring medication dosages and serum drug levels, and more complex administration medication orders, like starting and maintenance doses of heparin. Most respiratory therapists attain an associate degree, but there are bachelor's degrees in respiratory therapy. Preclinical training may include courses in general studies, anatomy, physiology, chemistry, microbiology, pharmacology, respiratory mechanics, respiratory physics, and principles of mechanical ventilation. Clinical courses may include respiratory assessment, clinical application of respiratory therapy, including courses that emphasize neonatal, pediatric, adult, and critical care. There are 2 levels of certification. Graduates of an accredited entry and advanced program may take the CRT exam, which is a certified respiratory therapist exam. CRTs who graduate from an advanced program and have met certain other eligibility criteria may take the registered respiratory therapy exam. Both exams are offered by the National Board of Respiratory Care. Licensure is required in most states, many of which require completion of the CRT exam. Roles of respiratory therapists depend on the type of facility and area of focus. Basic respiratory assessment, administration of oxygen and nebulized medication, and patient education occur in ambulatory and inpatient settings. Ventilator support can occur in specialized units, for example, in a neonatal intensive care unit. There's a growing interest in home mechanical ventilation, which often requires respiratory therapy support. Physical therapy exemplifies the pattern often seen in the health professions of a variety of level of practitioners. Typically, as the amount and degree of training increase, so does the level of responsibility. Physical therapy aides are usually trained by the institution and function in a support and administrative role. They are not licensed and do not participate in any clinical care. A physical therapy assistant usually obtains an associate degree and assists a physical therapist, which includes assessment and therapy. Most states require either licensure or registration, but the only consistent requirement is graduation from an accredited program. Some states have their own exam or require the physical therapy assistant version of the National Physical Therapy Exam, NPTE, administered by the Federation of State Boards of Physical Therapy. Physical therapists may have a master's or doctoral degree. All states require licensure and the physical therapist version of the National Physical Therapy Exam administered by the Federation of State Boards of Physical Therapy. Some states have additional exams or requirements. Physical therapists direct and provide the care for patients with physical limitations from injuries and diseases. The aim is usually to improve mobility, function, and relieve pain. We again see the pattern of a variety of level of practitioners. Occupational therapy aides are usually trained by the institution and function in a support and administrative role. They are not licensed and do not participate in any clinical care. An occupational therapy assistant usually obtains an associate degree and assists an occupational therapist, which includes assessment and therapy. Most states require either licensure or registration, but the only consistent requirement is graduation from an accredited program. Occupational therapy assistants may be certified by passing the Certified Occupational Therapy Assistant Exam, COTA, administered by the National Board of Certification in Occupational Therapy. Occupational therapists complete a master's or doctoral degree. Occupational therapists may be certified by passing the Occupational Therapist Register Exam, administered by the National Board for Certification in Occupational Therapy, MBCOT. Licensure for occupational therapists vary by state. Most states require an occupational therapist to have MBCOT certification for licensure. Some states have other requirements or additional exams. Occupational therapists direct and provide the care for patients with disabilities to improve function, job skills, activities of daily living, and cognitive abilities. There's a lack of uniformity in titles and training of those involved in taking x-rays and assisting in radiologic procedures. There are certificate programs, associate and bachelor's degrees. Training usually involves general studies, math and science, and applied courses. For example, anatomy, physiology, physics, and radiation technology. Training also includes supervised clinical practicums, emphasizing general radiology procedures and exposure to special areas like computerized tomography. There's voluntary certification by the American Registry of Radiological Technologists. To be ARRT certified, graduation from an accredited training program and successful completion of an exam is required. Most states require licensure. Many states require ARRT certification to be eligible for licensure. Radiology technologists perform a variety of roles, including maintaining and some calibration of equipment. They have a prominent role in positioning the patient, positioning the imaging equipment, and setting controls like strength and length of exposure. While they do not interpret x-rays, they do have to have sufficient skills to make sure the image displays the appropriate part of the anatomy and is properly exposed for optimal interpretation. Some radiology technologists specialize in specific types of imaging which may require additional training. There are no uniform requirements for education or training of EKG technicians, and many receive on-the-job training. There are certificate programs available, which are usually a single course lasting 50 to 60 contact hours. Training includes basic anatomy and physiology of the heart. It is particularly important for the EKG technician to understand the cardiac electrophysiology. This includes how an electrical impulse is generated and transmitted through the heart to create sequential contraction of the chambers of the heart to successfully circulate the blood to two parallel systems that supply blood to the lungs and the rest of the body. The technician also needs to understand how the placement of leads, usually 12 leads, one on each limb and six on the chest in a specific pattern, allow measurement of electrical activity in different parts of the heart. They also have training on how to use the equipment and verify the quality of the EKG tracing. While there does appear to be some national certification exams, they do not seem to be required. There is no state licensure exam for EKG technicians. EKG technicians set up EKG equipment, run the test, assure an accurate recording, and sometimes prepare the recording for interpretation. Preparing the EKG for mounting usually involves adhering the tracing or parts of the tracings to a uniform record that can be placed in the paper chart or filed. There's a growing use of digital EKG machines that store EKGs internally or transfer to an SD card or electronic health record system. Many come with print options if paper copies are needed for interpretation or storage. DITAC technicians usually have an associate's degree, have a voluntary registration examination, and variable licensure. Most states require DITAC technicians to work under the supervision of a registered dietitian, except in the area of food preparation. DITAC technicians are involved in the process of food service and nutritional programs. Dietitians must have a bachelor's degree and complete the registration exam for dietitians to become registered dietitians, RD. Both the dietetic technician and dietitian registration exams are administered by the Commission on Dietetic Registration. Most states require dietitians to be licensed, certified, or registered. Being an RD is often a requirement. Dietitians are involved with providing medical nutrition therapy to patients in addition to supervising dietary departments. This slide represents the progression of training available for EMTs and paramedics. As the amount of training increases, so does the level of skills acquired, as judged by the types of procedural skills tested. The hours for training represent ranges seen in various training programs. The suggested content of the courses is a minimal content level. This is the current progression for EMT training. There has been a proposal to change to three levels, EMT, advanced EMT, and paramedic. It is likely the first responder course will continue. States vary on how much coursework and type of testing required for licensure, but all states require EMT and paramedics to be licensed. The NREMT does provide a mechanism for certification of EMTs at a national level. EMTs and paramedics are generally the first medical responders to injuries and serious illnesses. They are responsible for the initial assessment, stabilization, and transport. They usually have the ability to contact emergency departments to discuss diagnostic and treatment options with physicians. Most of the information on this slide is abstracted from the National Registry of Emergency Medical Technician website, the NREMT. Dental assistants provide aid to a dentist, including setup and assisting in dental exams and procedures, equipment maintenance, and sterilization. Some dental assistants take on additional duties such as performing x-rays, polishing, or restoration, but many states require additional training and licensure. Dental assistant programs have a variety of links, including on-the-job training. But all Commission on Dental Accreditation, CODA, approved programs are one-year diploma or certificate programs or two-year associate degrees. You must graduate from a CODA-approved program to be eligible to sit for the Certified Dental Assistant Exam administered by the Dental Assisting National Board, Incorporated. Most states that require licensure or registration require candidates to be certified dental assistants. Dental assistants work under the supervision of a dentist. Dental hygienists usually attend an associate or bachelor's degree program accredited by the Commission on Dental Accreditation. Education usually includes the typical preclinical courses, including biology, chemistry, microbiology, anatomy, physiology, and pharmacology. They may also have a course in radiology. Practical courses emphasize dental pathology, periodontology, dental materials, and dental hygiene. While all states accept the National Dental Hygiene Board exam administered by the Joint Commission on National Dental Examinations, some states require additional testing and have other eligibility criteria. Dental hygienists are generally under the supervision of a dentist. Many states do not require the dentist to be present when the dental hygienist is conducting procedures. The DDS and DMD degrees are the same. The designation merely reflects the terminology that the dental school uses. Most dental schools require a bachelor's degree to be eligible to attend. Dental school is usually 4 years, 2 years of preclinical courses, and 2 years of clinical courses. Preclinical training consists of science and preclinical dental courses, including biology, chemistry, microbiology, anatomy, which usually emphasizes head and neck, physiology, pharmacology, and operative/laboratory procedures. Clinical courses include dental radiology, restorative dentistry, prosthodontics, which is prosthetic dentistry, orthodontics, which is treatment of improper bites, periodontics, which is treatment of gum disease, oral surgery, pediatric dentistry, and oral pathology. All states license dentists and require graduation from a school of dentistry accredited by the Commission on Dental Accreditation and require the National Board Dental Examination. Some states require additional written or practical examinations. Dentists provide general preventative care, restoring teeth that are damaged by caries or injuries, and preventing and treating gum disease. There are a variety of types of mental health professionals, including counselors, psychologists, and psychiatrists. Counselors usually complete a master's degree, psychologists complete a PhD, and a psychiatrist must complete medical school and a psychiatry residency program. Training may be general or in more specific areas, for example, marital counseling, pediatric counseling, eating disorders, geriatrics, and treatment of addiction. All states require counselors and psychologists to be licensed. Psychiatrists, like any physician, are required to be licensed in all states with some variation in requirements. Like any specialty, board certification in psychiatry is not a state requirement, but usually required for hospital privileges and for reimbursement by many types of payers. Mental health professionals participate in diagnosis, group and individual therapy, and counseling. Psychiatrists add the ability to prescribe medications, although in many facilities, counselors and psychologists work with a psychiatrist or other physicians to add medication to their treatment strategy. Social workers may obtain a bachelor's or master's degree in social work. Training for a BSW usually focuses more on direct service, while MSWs receive training in clinical and supervisory skills. All states in the District of Columbia require licensure, certification, or registration. BSWs usually provide direct services, including case management. Case management often focuses on health, housing, relationships, or disability. MSWs can provide counseling, serve as case managers, or supervise facilities or departments. They may focus on a specific area such as mental health, substance abuse, or rehabilitation. While case management is ubiquitous in medical care, there is not a uniform role or preparation. Case managers most often are trained in a primary health profession that provides a foundation for working as a case manager. Some fields like social work have courses in case management as a part of the education training. Others may learn on the job or have additional training requirements. There are additional certificates or other training programs for case management, but may not be required. Requirements for licensure usually depend on the education and training of the case manager. For example, a nurse or social worker would usually fall under licensure requirements for those specific health professions. Most often, case management involves assessment of patient problems to mobilize resources, often from multiple sources, to increase the patient's ability to function. Examples include discharge planning with the primary purpose of coordinating services after discharge. With the rise of managed care, the term case management can be used to describe professionals who monitor care to ensure the most appropriate and cost-effective care is being delivered. This presentation has provided information on the education, training, certification, licensure, and roles for physician assistants, pharmacists, respiratory, physical, and occupational therapists, technicians, nutrition, and dietary personnel. This presentation has also provided information on paramedics and EMTs, dental health professionals, mental health professionals, social workers, and case managers.